Welcome to day 289. We are up to Perek Dalet Mishnah Zayin, and today we're going to be reintroduced to an old friend of ours, the area of Syria. It is north of modern-day Israel. It's actually in modern-day Syria, as Syria might imply. And it's the area that David HaMelech conquered before he conquered the rest of Eretz Yisrael proper, and therefore it has a quasi-status. In some ways it's like Israel, and in some ways it's not like Israel. We said that if a Jew owns land in Syria, then we treat it like Israel. All Trumas and Maisers have to be separated, all tithes need to be separated. But if a non-Jew owns land in Syria, all of the produce grown on that land will not have to have Truma separated from it, and therefore, in that way, it is not like the land of Israel. But let's say it's a quasi case; it's kind of in the middle. So it says the Mishnah: Yisrael shayu arisin lo avdei kochavim b'Syria. If there was a Jew who was an aris, which is a sharecropper, to a non-Jewish field in Syria. So a sharecropper is interesting because you don't get a general salary, but instead you get a portion of that which you're working on, a portion of the produce. So it's a non-Jewish field, but you, the Jew, is getting a part of that field. So is that like Israel? Is it not like Israel? Says the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer mechayev pirsam b'maisers v'shvius. Rabbi Eliezer says that all of the produce that the Jew gets from being a sharecropper, you do have to separate trumas and maisers, and you do have to treat it with all of the kedusha of shvius if it's a shemitah year. Meaning, in that way, that land is like Israel. Rabbi Gamliel poter. Rabbi Gamliel says no. All of the produce that you get from that is not like the land of Israel. At the end of the day, the land is owned by a non-Jew outside of Israel. It's in Syria, and we do not treat Syria in that regard as Israel. So again, Rabbi Eliezer says it is like Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Gamliel says it is not like Eretz Yisrael. Continues the Mishnah, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Shtei Chalas B'Syria. When you're separating Chala from dough that came from Syria, you separate two Chalas. Now, we're not going to explain why in this Mishnah, we're going to explain why in the next Mishnah. But just keep in mind, the principle is that when you separate Chala outside the land of Israel, you have to separate two Chalas. So outside, two, but inside Eretz Yisrael, you only have to separate one Chala. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Chala Achas. Rabbi Eliezer says you separate one Chala. So we see this Machalokas again between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, and it's very consistent. Rabbi Gamliel said previously that which the sharecropper receives, you do not have to separate Trumas and Maisers, because it's not like Israel. And therefore he says also, you have to separate two Chalas, because again, it's not like Israel. And Rabbi Eliezer is also consistent. He said you do have to separate Trumas and Maisers, because it is like Israel, and you only separate one Chala, because it is like Israel. Now, this is fascinating. The people, and by the way, the fact that halacha, it would ever be determined, or why do the people matter in this case? It's a wholly, entirely separate issue, but it's a very, very interesting case. The people started taking on the leniencies of both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Gamliel, meaning they treated it not like Eretz Yisrael, according to Rabbi Gamliel, in terms of Maisers, meaning if there was a sharecropper in Syria, they would not separate Trumas and Maisers, because that's what Rabbi Gamliel says. And when they separated Chala, they would only separate one Chala, like Rabbi Eliezer. But that's inconsistent, because you only separate one Chala if it's like Israel. And if it's like Israel, then you should have been separating Maisers on the previous stuff. And if it's not like Israel, then you should be separating two Chalas. But they somehow took on the Kulas from both, from each, as if it was Eretz Yisrael in some ways and not Eretz Yisrael in other ways, and they were inconsistent. But then they realized that was inconsistent, and they returned to following really Rabbi Gamliel consistently, which is that it is not like Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you would not have to separate Trumas and Maisros, but you would have to separate two Chalas. A very important principle. You have to be consistent when we're talking about following Halacha. It doesn't mean you always have to follow Rabbi Gamliel for everything. It means that when there's a Shita that is so clearly, their view that is so clearly aligned, because it's the same reason, is it Eretz Yisrael or not? You can't pick and choose to have only leniencies. You have to be intellectually honest in that process. That is Mishnah Zayin. Now we're going to see the source of that two Chala piece. So in order to understand this Mishnah, we have to just know that besides for Syria, now we're going back to Eretz Yisrael proper. Even within Eretz Yisrael proper, there are a few different areas. There are some areas, this is an important principle in general to know, there are some areas that was Kibush Yoshua, that Yoshua conquered originally when the Jewish people got to Eretz Yisrael. Then, when we were exiled, after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, all of Eretz Yisrael seemed to have lost its Kedusha until it was reconquered. So, the areas that were reconquered by Ezra, if it was conquered by Yeshua and then reconquered by Ezra, then it's all good. Then it's exactly, has all the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. If it was conquered only by Yeshua, but not reconquered later by Ezra, then it might have a quasi-status of Eretz Yisrael, because it really matters. What Ezra reconquered is really the only thing that is the full status of Eretz Yisrael. So if Yeshua did it, but not Ezra, then it's quasi. And if it was neither conquered by Ezra or Yoshua, then it seems to have no status of Eretz Yisrael, at least vis-a-vis these halachos. So with those three things in mind, if it was both Ezra and Yoshua, great, Eretz Yisrael. Only Yoshua, not Ezra, then maybe, quasi. And if it was neither of them, then it would have nothing for the purpose of this halacha. So, Rabbi Gamliel Omer, says Rabbi Gamliel, Shalosh, Aratzos, Lechala. There are three areas in Eretz Yisrael when it comes to halachas of Chala. Spoiler alert, the ones that we just said. Now, what's the halachos when it comes to challah? May Eretz Yisrael be'ab Kaziv, from Eretz Yisrael until Kaziv. We're not going to explain where that is right now, but I can share a map. That is where both Yoshua conquered, and then later Ezra did conquer. Challah achas, you just bring one challah, because that is normal, Eretz Yisrael proper, that's regular halachos, and therefore, you only bring one challah. By the way, important introduction here that I didn't say is that we know that we only bring challah in general. The halacha is only in Eretz Yisrael when most of the Jews are in Eretz Yisrael. That's the halacha. I mean, challah is the araisa in Eretz Yisrael only when it's in Israel, dough that comes from Israel, and when most of the Jews are there. So anyway, that's why we're talking about Israel here. So if it's from this land of Eretz Yisrael, the Ad Kaziv, then that's considered part of what Yoshua and Ezra conquered, and therefore regular halachas of challah, one challah, great. Now, Mekziv ad Nar v'ad Amana, from Kaziv until the river on the east, the west, and Amana on the east, that is an area that Yoshua conquered, but Ezra did not reconquer, and therefore it has a quasi status. What's the halacha? Shtei chalos. You'd have to bring two chalas. Achas the ur, the achas the kohen. One would be burned in the fire, and one would be given to a kohen. What's going on here? So in general, we assume, and there are a lot of principles here that we have to know. And the primary one is that outside of Israel, we assume that all lands are tameh. All lands are tameh. In Israel, we're very makpid about halacha because it matters, kedusha, kohanim, all of that. It matters where people are buried. I know it sounds silly, but this is really important. It matters where people are buried, so we always are very careful to mark graves in Eretz Yisrael, because we care about the halacha. Outside, very few people care about this, and therefore there are unmarked graves all over the place, and therefore we assume all of Chutz La'aretz, everywhere outside of Israel where people are not makpid about this, it's all going to be considered tamei land, impure land. And therefore anything that happened, anything that's there will also be impure. We are all impure. That's the assumption. So if you have this land that's quasi Eretz Yisrael and quasi not, because only Yoshua conquered it and Ezra didn't, so then we separate two challahs. One la'or, meaning one needs to be burned, because all challah that is tamea, all impure challah needs to be burned. So we assume that first challah is the true challah, just in case you had to separate challah there. That's the true challah, and therefore you have to separate that and burn it, because we assume that all the lands outside of Eretz Yisrael, of which this is a part, is tamea. But we also separate another part and we give it to a kohen. Why? So the Mefarshim explain that the reason is that people might think that this land really is Eretz Yisrael. They might think that because it's Eretz Yisrael, if you're burning it, they might think, okay, I guess it's okay to burn challah, because you're standing in a place that seems like Eretz Yisrael, and you're separating challah and you're burning it, it might be okay to always burn challah. And therefore, to show people that that's not really the halacha, but that there's nuance here because of where it is, it's not really Eretz Yisrael, that people might not realize that. So we do burn the challah properly, but we also separate another portion and we give it to a kohen to make people realize, wait a second, something else is going on here. There must have been something wrong with the first batch. That's why it's burned, but really, then you give it to a kohen because because that's what you normally do with challah. So that's the halacha. So, but the real challah here is the first one that you burn, because it's an eretz. It's the land is tameh, so you have to separate challah la halacha as if it were Eretz Yisrael, but you burn it because the land is tameh. So that's why it's a quasi stage. You treat it like Eretz Yisrael and separating challah, but not like Eretz Yisrael and burning it, and then you separate another piece just so as not to confuse people. And now, Vishal Ur, Yesh Lashir, Vishal Kohen, Ein Lashir. But the one that you burn has the regular shear, I mean, it needs to be the 1/24th that we talked about, or the 1/48th if it's in bulk, and being sold in the market. But 1/24th, the general measurement. The one that you burn, it needs to have that measurement. But the one that you give to the Kohen does not have to have the measurement, for the reason that we just said, because the real challah is the first one. The real challah is the one that you burn, because it's tameh. The one that you give to the Kohen is just to make sure that people don't get the wrong idea. That doesn't need to have the shear. It can be even less than 1/24th. And now the third territory, Min Hanar V'Adamon of Lifnim Shtei Chalos. If it's an area that was not conquered by Yoshua or Ezra, then you also give two chalos, achas the or, the achas the kohen. Again, one that gets burned and one goes to a kohen, but in this case, it's for a different reason. This is not really Eretz Yisrael at all. Chazal said you should still do it, but it's not Eretz Yisrael at all. There's no question as to whether it's Eretz Yisrael or not. So what do? Yes, we take a little bit and we burn it, because that is almost like a remembrance of the original halacha. But Chazal were also worried that if you only do that, people will forget the halacha of challah. People should know that that's not the original halacha. Challah, you don't just burn challah. You really should be giving it to a kohen. So Chazal said that even in this case that it's not Eretz Yisrael at all, you burn a little bit, but also you give a piece, you give some of it to the kohen so that people remember the halacha of challah. And in that case, the real bona fide halacha is the one that you give to the kohen, because that's the most important one. Chazal said you really don't have any chiyuv to give challah. They said you do, but it's not really, meaning it's not connected to, it's only a zecher, it's only remembrance. And therefore, the more more important one, as opposed to the last case where the more important one was the one that you burned, because that's the real halacha. In this case, there's really no chiyuv at all to separate challah. The only reason you're doing it is as a remembrance of the halacha, and therefore Chazal said the second one, the one that you give to the kohen, is more important, because people have to know that that's really what the original halacha was when you're in Israel, and there was the Beis HaMikdash, and all the Jews were, that was the real halacha. So, says the Mishnah, shel or ein lashir, in this case, it's the opposite. The one that you burn doesn't need to have any shir, because it's just a small little remembrance. But the shel kohen yesh lashir, but the one you give to the kohen should be 1/24th, because people, it's a remembrance. People need to know that this is the original halacha, so they should also know that 1/24th was the original halacha. So it's kind of different. Obviously, if it's entirely Eretz Yisrael, then you give one challah. If it's in an area that's quasi Eretz Yisrael, then you give two challahs. You really have to give challah because it has some kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, and you burn that because we assume the land is tameh. That's the real challah. We also give a little bit to a kohen so as not to confuse people. But if it's not Eretz Yisrael at all, so then you give two challahs, and the real one is the zecher, is the one that the reason that you do it is the primary purpose is as remembrance, and therefore you'd have to do it just like you would the original halacha. You give 1/24th. So same thing, you're giving two in both those last cases, but for different reasons. Now in that last case, utful yom achla. In that last case, someone who is a tful yom, that's someone who is tameh and went to the mikvah but was not yet tahor. Tful yom is usually someone who goes to the mikvah during the day, and you have to wait. The kohen has to wait until nightfall in order to be totally tahor. Meaning there are two stages to it: go to the mikvah and wait for nightfall. If they only went to the mikvah but nightfall didn't come, so they're not even really tahor yet. In that last case, they're actually allowed to eat the one that would normally be burned, because in this last case, again, we said it's not even real challah at all. It's really just a zecher. Yes, it's rabbinic, and they said you should do it, but it's really just a zecher, and therefore, even a kohen who is not tahor, is only a little bit tahor, went to the mikvah but nightfall didn't come, they're allowed to eat of the one that would be normally be burned. The next opinion, Rabbi Yossi Omer, I'm sorry, I keep on losing my place. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Eino Tzarach Tefillah. Rabbi Yossi says, no, forget that. Anyone, really, even if he's just fully tamei, he'd be allowed to eat the one that would normally be burned, because all of this is just a zecher. It's burned because it's tamei. This guy's, it doesn't matter. It's all, it's very, very lenient. We don't really paskin like that. But anyway, going back to the original opinion that you're allowed to eat if it's a tefil yom, but that original opinion said, v'asur lezavim lezavos lanida v'yoladas. You're not allowed to give it to a zava or a zava or to a nida or a woman who just gave birth. In all of those cases, if they're family of the Kohanim, whatever it is, they're still tamei, and they're not allowed to eat this amount that would be burned. You really have to burn it, meaning the access shouldn't be given to them. You should treat it like normal halacha, meaning we're lenient in some cases that a person is quasi tamei tahor, but we're not going to allow someone who is a little bit, we allow a person who is quasi tahor, but not a person who is totally tamei. Meaning we're lenient because it's a derabanan, but not that lenient. Then anyway, says the Mishnah, or continues the Mishnah, and when a kohen's eating it, you're allowed to have certain kulas, you're allowed to have certain leniencies associated with it. Generally, when a kohen eats regular challah, that's tahor from Eretz Yisrael, you're not supposed to eat it at the same table with a non-kohen, because they don't want to mistakenly give some to the czar. The czar might, you know, take the wrong challah and eat it, and you're not allowed to. So you don't eat it together with a non-kohen at the table. And also, you don't give it to a kohen. If you know that a kohen is not makpid or doesn't know the halachos of challah, you wouldn't give your challah to that type of kohen either. But in this case, because it's all the zecher anyway, and it's not really halachic, it's halachic, but it's not really midoraisa, and it's rabbinic, and even the rabbanon is not a strong rabbanon, it's only a zecher, and so therefore, we say that you're allowed to eat it with a zar al shulchan, you're allowed to eat it with a non-kohen there, and nitanas l'chol kohen, you can give it to any kohen, even if it's a kohen who's not makbid about the halachos of challah. Of course, that's not true if we're talking about regular challah in Eretz Yisrael. We're only talking about in this case in which it's not Eretz Yisrael at all. You're only separating it for the purpose of a zecher, remembrance. So we have a lot of kulas. That is Mishnah Ches. We'll do the Mishnah test tomorrow.